How's everyone's week going? Going pretty fast? It does go fast. In fact, that's the thrust of tonight's message. So you have your Bibles, my friends. Let's be exhorted, encouraged, and blessed by the Word of God. Let's go to Psalm 90. Psalm 90. And, not necessarily a theologically deep or profound message, but really a good encouragement to all of us. Something that we already know, but perhaps need to always bring to the forefront of our mind. And that ties into the title of the message, Make Every Day Count. Make Every Day Count. And let's go to Psalm 90. And let's go to verse 12. Of course, the whole theme of this psalm, God's eternalness compared to man's fleetingness, if that's even a word, okay? But God is forever, God's eternal. Man, of course, but not even a blip on the radar, okay? Life is like a vapor, even less than a vapor. But the idea is life is short, right? And so make every day count. But let's go to Psalm 90 and then verse 12. Verse 12, again, the kind of the build-up to the previous verses. And so the Word of God says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Just a tremendous, humbling testimony. Again, this is it's a psalm, so it's a praise, but it's also a prayer of Moses, the man of God. And it really puts me in my place because as I get it, this is God's inspired scripture through Moses. I get that. But for Moses himself to be praising God in prayer, Moses, who's asking God to teach us. Now, he says us to number our days. I mean, not just God teach them to number their days, okay? It's not just pointing fingers, you know, I get it, they don't. Okay, Moses is saying, teach us to number our days. This is Moses, who at 40, God stirred it in his heart, and he saw his brethren, and he forsook the comforts of Egypt, right? Not fearing the wrath of the king or Pharaoh, right? And so he trusted in that which is invisible, and so I got to do it. And so again, Moses, he could have just ducked his head down. He could have just bided his time and he could have lived out the rest of his natural life in the comforts of the Egyptian palace. I mean, he could have done that. But he felt so burdened, I got to do it. And he chose affliction with God's people, right? Then the pleasures of sin for a season. That because he knew it was going to be wrong for him to just stay where he was. God calls him out. And so he goes. But then guess what? They didn't want him. Okay, and so he runs. And then when he's 80, again, I can't even put myself in his shoes, you know. And but when, just imagine if you're not 80 yet, just imagine when you're 80, okay? When you're 80, you're like, well, I'm done. I've done my time. I'm getting, I've been retired now for, 20 years or 30, whatever, you know. And I'm just kind of coasting here on autopilot. When he's 80, God appears to him, sends him back, of course. Well, we can understand where Moses is coming from. Yeah, but Lord, I tried it 40 years ago. It didn't quite work out, you know. And who made man smile? Okay, you did. Okay, he goes. And then when he finally gets to the promised land, and then they say, we don't want it. And like, ugh. And now he's got to wander with them. And so now, all the way to Deuteronomy, now he's 120. And this same Moses saying, Lord, teach us to number our days. That really puts me in my place. Because can I confess to you, friends, to my shame, I know this principle, but I sometimes get too busy with what's in front of me. In all honesty, I rarely actually number my days. I rarely say, wow, actually, boy, that's not a whole lot of time left. You know, and just like last Sunday we preached, Lord, teach us to pray. It's not inherent. We got to learn to pray. Here, Moses representing the best of humanity, if you now still sinners, okay, but as far as a man of God saying, Lord, teach us to number our days, it doesn't come naturally. Numbering our days comes only supernaturally. Otherwise, we live for the now, and then before you know it, life is gone, and we're like, ooh, and then by then it's too late. And so with that said, let's go to the Lord in prayer, dedicate, of course, this time to Him, that we would be well-pleasing in His sight. But that our prayer, our desire is that we truly, Lord, teach me. I need to learn it because I know it up here, but I need to apply my heart unto wisdom, right? Not just in one ear, out one ear. I need to know it, because if I really know it in my heart, it will show in my life, my choices, my prayers. Let's pray. Abba, Father, what a blessing to be in thy house. And Lord, what a joy to be here this midweek service. And Father, we do thank you. I do thank you for your goodness and mercy in my life, your long suffering that you put up with me, Lord, in spite of my faults and all. And Father, I'm just so thankful for your goodness to us. And so, Father, help me, help us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Lord, too many times my heart's applied to other things that's not wisdom, foolishness. Lord, and so help me to number my days to really make every day count for you, to do something for you every single day. We thank you we can at least even now, tonight, assemble to praise you. That's a blessing. And Holy Spirit of God, just move in our midst, Lord. Give us encouragement. Give us convictions and burdens and blessings. And Father, it all comes from you. And we just acknowledge your presence. We thank you for your presence. May we, Lord, truly be humbled and obedient servants for you. In Jesus' name, all of God's people said, amen. Praise the Lord. You know, it's as I read these scriptures, kind of got me thinking, you know, I'll be turning 47 this November. Now, it's all a matter of perspective, right? I'll be turning 47. To some, that's pretty young, still a baby. To my kids, that's ancient. Okay, so it's all perspective. But it kind of got me thinking. Even if you go back to verse 10, the days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80, so 70 or 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. So God tells us 70 or 80, 80 by strength, by God's grace. And so if you, and on average, again, but if you look at the, if you look at human life expectancy, if it's at 70 year mark, I'm at the 47. If God be gracious, and certainly there's no guarantees, God's will, I could die tonight. Okay, but if you kind of plot it out, what is that? 47 to 70. 23. Okay, 23 years. Okay, so 23 years, 47, right? 50 to, okay, so 23 more years to get to 70, and then by reason of strength, maybe 80. Okay, but that's more than halfway. If you think of my father-in-law, which is why I'm so blessed with his testimony. Of course, thank you for your prayers. We got back from Branson just last week. It was a wonderful, blessed time. Can I just share this just candidly? My father-in-law, he's not a wealthy man. He's got a very humble lifestyle. And he spent thousands. Not tens of thousands, okay? But he did spend some money. But it was always his dream to get his family together. And it was a real blessing for me to be part of that, because I could tell that he could care less about the money. It's just mammon. Rutley, what he really desired was that family time. And to me, he's still young. He'll be turning 74. And so, but if you look at 70, he's four over. My mom is this next month. She will be 77. And so 3 years removed from 80. And it just got me thinking. I was so blessed because I know that what my father-in-law did, coughing up the money, and then the rest of us kids, it was an enjoyable time. But did I mention exhausting? Okay, but we made it there. We had a wonderful time. I know none of us will regret that. It's going to be a gift, a treasure, that if the Lord tarries, hallelujah. If my father-in-law lives another 10, 20 years, praise God. But if he goes tomorrow, if we go tomorrow, whatever the case is, what God gave us last week was a gift that we got to spend together. That was a blessing. To God be the glory. And that warmed my heart, because too many times people get the other way around. They spend their whole life earning money, and then before they know it, they're gone. You know, and it's just... that's not how God desires his children to live. Of course, we know the verses. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. All these things will be added on to us. But when I read this verse in verse 12, to teach me to number my days, that I may apply my heart unto wisdom, have I noticed this trend? Because I remember celebrating my 4-year-old birthday. I remember the fun, how it was, the cake, the present I was opening. I might have been 5, okay, but 4 or 5 years old, somewhere around there. I remember celebrating my 4-year-old birthday. But then, before I knew it, I was in middle school. Before I knew it, I was in high school. Before I knew it, I was in America, in college. Before I knew it, hang on, I was married with kids. Last thing I remember, I jokingly tell people, but it's true. I remember saying, I do, at the altar. Next thing you know, we have a full quiver. God is blessed. But next thing I knew, I was at my dad's funeral last July. Next thing I know, it's almost a year later. Here I am today. Last thing I remember was waking up this morning. Now, here we are. Fast forward, right? Has it sunk into me, based on this trend of, before I know it, fill in the blank, can I put out there to you, my friends, before I know it, I'll be standing before Jesus Christ. And I'll say, whoa, wait, what? Lord, teach me to number my days. Because I remember sitting where my kids are sitting and like, oh yeah, 21 seems so far away. Right? I still think that until I realize, wait a minute, I'm not 21. I'm quite a bit more, right? And so before you know it, and so life is so short. And by the way, you know, we say time is so short. What we truly mean is not that time is so short. What we truly mean is life is so short. Because time is time. It's just life is short. However, just because life is so short does not mean life is meaningless or pointless. In fact, it's the opposite. Because life is so short, it makes life precious. Precious. That's all it is. Because only one life will soon be passed, right? We know that only what's done for Christ will last. But because life is so short, it is uber precious. Don't squander it, because we don't have access life to give around. You know what I'm saying? And so this is just a one shot. Do it right. Do it for the Lord. Make every day count. Applying our hearts onto wisdom. That is the application, literally. Verse 1 to 11, really, it's God's truth about how God is eternal. Man is nothing. We're fleeting, not even a blip on the radar. But when verse 12 is the application verse, verse 12 is the wisdom verse, meaning, so what? Okay, and when it comes to applying biblical truth, it answers the question, so what? Meaning, what do we do about it? You know, and so the Bible can tell me some truth. Millions are dying, going to hell. So what? So means I got to witness. I got to pray. I got to labor. I mean, so the so what is the application. And then so verse 12, so teach us. Lord, so teach us. I get what you're saying here, but the application of the Word of God always answers the question, so what now? Okay, not just to know it, but to do it. And when you do it so often, Lord willing, you'll be living it. But so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Our days are few and numbered. Many Christians, many folks don't even claim this. Understand that our days are numbered. And in fact, let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Something, this speaking about redeeming the time, goes hand in hand with this. But Ephesians 5, make every day count, not just Sunday. Amen. By the way, if we live only for Sunday, that's like taking your whole lifespan divided by 7. You're losing a lot of precious days that don't go anywhere. But dedicate each day to the Lord. Use it for Him. Redeem every day. Make it count. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. And you know where I'm going. Let's go to verse 15. We'll start there. Ephesians 5, verse 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. That's the key word, similar to applying, you know, apply our hearts unto wisdom. So if we apply it unto wisdom, we walk circumspectly. Make sure that each footstep, so to speak, is where God wants us, that it coincides with God's word. If you're in God's word, you're automatically in God's will. Hallelujah. And so walk circumspectly. Don't just autopilot. In fact, it's the opposite, okay? And by the way, that's just how I am hardwired, because the more autopilot I am, the less stress, right? Because then you don't have to think about it. You just set the timer mentally, and you kind of tune off or whatever the case is. But the idea is every step that we live in this life needs to be deliberate, needs to be conscientious, needs to be thought about, premeditated. Is this the right place for me to be? Okay? Don't just go wherever the wind blows. Don't do that. As God would lead us according to His Word. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. They're evil. They're not profitable. If I don't conscientiously redeem these coupons, I just so happen, I did not plan this. I have Subway coupons right here. I redeemed 1 out of 5. They expire today. But that's okay. I got a fresh other batch for next month. Anyway, I get them every month. Anyway, these are, you got to redeem it. And so the idea is if you don't redeem it, it stays unredeemed, unused, unturned in. And unless we purposely, deliberately redeem the day, it's going to automatically go down the garbage chute. It's going to be wasted. Wherefore, be ye not unwise. And that starts going back to Psalm 90, verse 12, by not numbering our days, right? Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Verse 18 is just bonus. And be not drunk with wine, which is the opposite of wisdom, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, Holy Spirit, capital S. And so what a joy to live every day yielded for God, sold out for God, led by the Holy Spirit of God, to redeem every single day, right? To pray, not just for ourselves, not just for our immediate family, but to pray for others, right? To redeem the time of prayer. That is our ministry of prayer that God gave us. That's our blessing tonight. We got our prayer service, you know, and redeeming each day again, not just for Sunday, not even just for midweek service. That's 2 days, okay, out of the 7, you know, but there's certainly more times within those days and there's other days of the week, but every day, purpose to do something for God, honor God, every day that He gives us. Prayer. That's one thing that is so wonderful. We can do it collectively at church when we assemble. We should do that. That's a blessing. But my friends, do you know that you can exercise that ministry of prayer that God has given you even if you are solo, on your own, on, pick a random day, Wednesday, Tuesday, doesn't matter. You can pray for God's will to be done. You can pray for those that need prayer. I mean, that is wonderful. Don't neglect that. We can praise God. How about Hebrews chapter 13? Hebrews chapter 13. This is a blessing. Hebrews 13. This is our ministry of service, right? We all have ministries that God wants us to fulfill. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 13. All these will not happen unless I deliberately do it. Which, of course, won't happen unless I number my days. And so, at least I won't do it as zealously. But let's go to Hebrews chapter 13. And then verse 15. By Him, again, always through Jesus Christ. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. That's a wonderful thing. This goes hand in hand with our Sunday school. Of course, we are a holy nation of priests, okay? But the idea is, as children of God, every Christian is a holy royal priest. The idea is that the priest would offer up sacrifices, offer up offerings. Of course, God says here, the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Amen. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. That is our ministry of praise, our ministry of prayer. In fact, if you go to verse 16, look at this. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. Now, what's the context of these, of verse 16? What's the context of this doing good and communicate? It's not just saying, return your missed phone calls, okay? But what it's saying in verse 16, the context is verse 1, let brotherly love continue. Then it expounds on that, okay? And so the idea of verse 16, the good works, the communicating, it's not just communicating. It's speaking about our love and ministry and service to others. In fact, it's the ministry of ministering, right? Because ministering is a giving of ourselves to serve and to please others. Because when we serve others, it says what? For with such sacrifices, there is a cost. That's why the flesh doesn't want to do it. There's a cost. It will cost you something. Probably your comfort. Probably your, I don't know, hobby time. It will cost you something to be a blessing to others, to serve others, to help others, to give, whatever the case is. But with such sacrifices, God is what? Well pleased. And I can do this daily. Let's go to Colossians. This goes hand in hand with Ephesians, kind of a sister passage. Colossians chapter 4. Again, speaking about redeeming the time, redeeming the days. This one has a, you know, kind of the thrust of this is on witnessing. Okay, but let's go to Colossians chapter 4. And then I'll share a wonderful testimony. I was just so blessed about this. But let's go to Colossians 4. Let's go to verse 3. Colossians 4, verse 3. Again, ministry of prayer that we all have. But Paul says, without praying also for us. I mean, Paul is desiring prayer from the Colossians for him. And again, if I was one of the Colossians, I'd be like, pray for you. No, you pray for me. Paul, you're good. No, but Paul was blessed because of the prayers that he got from the saints. So without praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance. He wants to be used of God. Please pray that God would open that door to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. I mean, he you know, literally, but also figuratively. I mean, he was a servant of God. That I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. So ought means something that needs to be done, but not necessarily we would do it. And so we would do as we would ought to do, ought to speak. Walk in wisdom. That's, again, applying our hearts onto wisdom. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Similar to Ephesians, you know, redeeming the days, for the days are evil. And so redeeming the time. And so this is speaking more of a witness, more of a testimony, more of an outreach. And so speaking, of course, the gospel of Jesus Christ, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. And again, just a little spoiler alert. The problem to everyone's solution is the Lord. It's just, and that's a short answer, okay? But it's not wrong. Okay? In fact, it's totally right, okay? Now, certainly there's application of different biblical principles, but at the end of the day, people need to be saved, they need to be discipled, and then they need to serve, okay? I mean, that doesn't stray from that, okay? And so it's always the Word of God. That is how we answer according to God's Word, according to the Gospel. And so even the smallest seed sown, again, this is speaking of redeeming the time in the sense of witnessing, being a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ as an ambassador for Christ. Even the smallest seed sown, the Lord can use it with eternal consequence. Okay, and I'll share this blessing and then we'll kind of wrap it up here. But of course, on Tuesday, I have my pastor's prayer thing. It's just a call-in. It's just a small group of us pastors. We call in every Tuesday at 7 o'clock. And that's been a real blessing to my heart. And one of the gentlemen there today, this Tuesday on the call, was Brother Josh Sturtz. And I hardly know him, but he's with Couriers for Christ out of Wildwood Baptist Church. But Brother Sturtz, you know, he gave his testimony of how his grandma, and so not even his mom or dad, but his dad's mom, his grandma, grew up in a strict Lutheran home there in the Oshkosh area. And so growing up, grandma would make sure that his dad and his dad's brother, so his dad and uncle, would always go to church. They were staunch Lutherans. They would always go to church, even if the weather was bad. And if they were sick, they had to be like on the deathbed kind of sick. Otherwise, you're going to church, okay? And so grandma was super strict. We're going to church, but very religious, but not saved. And somehow, she doesn't quite even remember it when she tells the story. Somehow, by hook or by crook, a gospel track, I don't know what track it is, but some random gospel track ended up on her kitchen table. And so she got it from, she doesn't even know who. She put it there on the table and then didn't even read it till maybe some weeks or maybe a month later. She got saved. Now it's random to us, but someone passed her a track or slipped into a grocery bag or something. Somehow, I don't know. We don't know. We'll find out how that happened. But one day she happened upon a gospel track. She read it and she got saved. And that little gospel track changed the trajectory of the whole Sturtz family. Because after she got saved, she got out of that Lutheran religion, found a Bible-believing church, started going there. And then, of course, her kids went there. Now, unless they were sick and dying, you're going to this church. Okay, but now they're going to, they got to hear the gospel. And then, of course, as the story goes, if you don't know, her son, Don, after he got saved, he started the ministry, Couriers for Christ, in 1979, which dealt with smuggling Bibles behind the Iron Curtain into the Eastern Bloc there, Russia, you know, the former USSR territories. And then later, his brother Ken, along with their wives, also joined the ministry. And I know through that, countless thousands, maybe, I'm sure tens of thousands, have received Bibles. I'm sure many more saved, okay, that we don't know. Brother Sturz, that I prayed with, he's the third generation of his family that's a Christian. His grandma, his parents, himself. He's a third generation Christian. Now, he's also serving with his dad in Couriers for Christ. And then now his children, too, because he's 46, and so so same age as me. Okay, but his children, too, are also serving. In fact, they just got back from a mission trip to Croatia. And so that makes four generations, all because of one track. Now, obviously, God is sovereign. He could save them any plethora of ways. Praise God for that. But God chose to use this little track that someone at some point passed out randomly. When they asked Grandma, where did you get the track from? She has no idea. She couldn't remember. It's like, did you see the stamp in the back? Maybe at that point she didn't. She should have written that. Okay, but she doesn't know how. But hook or by crook, she got saved by reading that gospel track. And so never discount what we can do, what God can do with our obedience. Every day, number our days, and then every day serve the Lord. Do something for the Lord. Not just, you know, not just, obviously we praise God, but do something. Not just know something. Do something for the Lord. Because before we know it, we'll be standing before the judgment seat of Christ. I know it's coming, but only the fool says, oh, it's way out there. The Bible tells me life is a vapor. Now, what is the so what to that? Because the application is answers the so what. Life is a vapor. I better get cracking. I better buckle. I better do what I can. Because before I know it, we'll be gone. Amen. Oh me. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, what a challenge, Lord. What a blessing again. I thank you again for Brother Sturz. And what an amazing testimony of the power of God, Lord, just in just one family. And now because of that one track, three, four generations serving, tens of thousands, you know, with the word of God and possibly saved, you know, and Father, what a, how great thou art. Father, help us, help me to number our days, to apply our hearts unto wisdom. Even as Moses, certainly he did what he did for you because he numbered his days. And so, Father, what an encouragement, what a blessing, what a challenge. Thank you for the faithful that made it out. Bless now the prayer time, Father, as we ask according to your will, that you be glorified from these petitions, that, Father, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly, that thy kingdom come, Father, that we long for your kingdom, and we have such distaste in this present evil world. And so, Father, help us to be about thy business. We ask in Jesus' name, all of God's people said, amen. Thank you, friends.